building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Thankful that you take time today to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org, agradio.org, where we have many resources there for you, and you can download these podcasts free of charge. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're continuing our study in Psalm 18. And I pick up with where I left off yesterday, this beautiful scene in Revelation 8, where there an angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer with it the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. What does John see? This incense altar is in heaven. And so the angel takes the censer full of incense and he mixes the prayers of the saints with this incense and it all ascends to the throne. What just happened? Well, the picture here is really beautiful. All of our prayers as believers are represented as receiving the intercession of Christ. These prayers are incensed. All of these prayers, as smoke enters right into the presence of God, it goes right up around the throne. What is the Lord showing us? Every single cry that happens here on earth from His church, every single cry that happens on earth from His people, struggling, sighs over the abominations in the earth, hurtings over the evil and injustices and afflictions, and seeing the sufferings and the pains and death, all of those prayers of the saints are pictured here as coming right into the throne room. And the Lord Himself sees and hears. He knows intimately our cries on earth, our sufferings, our pains, our sorrows. And He is telling us, dear children, on earth I see, I hear. When these evils came upon me, now this is Psalm 18. David is describing in Psalm 18 a great time of affliction. He cried out to the Lord. He says, when these evils came upon me, when I was too weak, when sorrows overwhelmed me, what he describes here is that he called upon the Lord and he heard from his holy temple. Do you see why I ask the question today? Do you cry out to the Lord? Do you call upon His name? What we're seeing happening around us right now, all around us, is scary. The societies that we know seem to be unraveling at the seams. Look at the state of things. I'm finding myself crying out a lot more, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Weariness that people are facing, attack by rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We're living this. It's interesting that in Revelation 8, there's all this noise around the throne, praising and singing and the creatures around the throne room, and then everything goes silent. And every time you had this, in the Old Testament, God was ready to get up out of His holy habitation because He was angry. Revelation says that the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth. That should give us chills. God just acted. In other words, the angel saw that God heard our prayers, and the angel was commanded to throw fire to the earth, in the very place where our prayers were made up before the throne and offered up. He takes that censer, fills it with fire, and casts it upon the earth. God just told you He heard your prayers. He's answering by sending judgments on the earth. They needed to look at what was happening on earth differently, and so do we. God is not transforming it. God is judging this sad world. And it's begun. You see, when you understand this, that's the imagery you have for Psalm 18. What happens now is God answers David's prayer. You always have wondered that. Is God answering our prayers? Here's what the psalm describes. The prayers, the incense, it went right up before the Lord on his throne, and he got up. No one expected it, of course. Enemies laughed it off. But one day, God got off his throne and came down to fight. It was awesome. Let me tell you about it, says David in Psalm 18. I've never seen anything like it before. My prayer went up to his ears, and all of a sudden the earth shook. It rocked. All of the mountains trembled and quaked. He was furious in anger out of his holy habitation. Smoke went up, verse 8, from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. All of a sudden, the heavens bowed down. It dropped before him. And there he came riding on the cherub in the wind. All that was around him was darkness, thick clouds. And then he started destroying. Hailstones and coals of fire hit the earth. When he spoke, his voice was like thunder. And his arrows that came from his bow were like the lightning that laid bare everything. Fire flew out of his nostrils, he said. And here was the outcome. In verse 16, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me. They were too strong for me. But the Lord was my support, and he brought me out into a broad place. Wow. There are a few times we can use the word awesome. This is it. Psalm 18. What we have described in Psalm 18 is a storm theophany. And what David is doing is taking all the language of the great deliverances that God's people have experienced throughout history, especially Israel, drawn out of the Nile in Egypt and splitting the sea and passing them through and giving them the good land. He is applying all of those stories, all of those deliverances to the whole course of his life. And you see, the Lord desires for us to do this. See the deliverance of his people in the past and realize that it's yours. We have the deliverance. We have the deliverance of the Lord set before us in the scriptures, and all of it is our story as believers. A storm theophany was the terrible presence of the Lord in the form of a storm. When the Lord was represented as riding in the glory on that storm, on this chariot throne that had wheels, remember, Ezekiel described this. The cherub were like the horses driving the moving throne, and there was the Lord in all of his glory coming in raging fury and judgment. So you notice that this is borrowing the language from things like Mount Sinai when the Lord descended upon it and the thing went black. When God pummeled Egypt with all the plagues by his mighty power, hailstones and coals of fire. When God parted the Red Sea, even the naming of Moses and drawing him out, Moses means to draw out. David says, "You Mosesed me." I find this just moving, dear listener, because the intention here is for us to see that every single cry that happens from the believing hearts of his sheep in this sad world, he avenges, he saves, he rescues his elect speedily. Did this psalm happen literally in the life of David? Well, yes and no. The language here is all poetry, isn't it? To describe what God is like coming out of his holy habitation and into his holy justice. That he is a God of deliverance. We don't appreciate the presence of God as we should. The biblical writers were constantly using the terrifying things of creation to describe the Lord. Remember when Elisha's servant was afraid because the king of Syria sent horses and chariots to surround the city? Remember what Elisha did? "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. Do you know the angel of the Lord encamps around all of those who fear him and he delivers them. Believers can't see it with their physical eyes, but all around them right now are God's horses and his chariots and his great power and the angels surrounding his people as with a shield. You know, that's the imagery and that's the language the Lord describes and gives to us so that we would know his sovereign care and protection. The world does not have this. If you're an unbeliever today, you don't have this. You go through life and you have no assurance of protection and deliverance. And that's why we say, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you. The point of this today, though, is to say God is with his people. He never lets us fall. He keeps us. And nothing, absolutely nothing that happens to us in this sad world happens apart from his will. And the reality is, every time we cry out to him because of the evil, when death confronts us, when sorrow fills us, when enemies attack us, he answers. Now, I'm not saying that takes place like the health and wealth people say it takes place. I'm not saying that he promises a pain-free, a suffering-free, a conflict-free life, and that you should be always healed and always well and always happy. No, no, no. This world is full of tribulation. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. The Lord wants us to know that when we cry out to him, he is the strong one to surround our hearts and minds with peace, even if our circumstances have not changed. And he's told us not to fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and soul in hell. In other words, if man takes our bodies and we die, nothing separates us from the love of God. He will deliver us, and he's going to raise our bodies new. That's the promise of the resurrection. You see, so this psalm is describing the deliverance of the Lord. You enlighten my darkness, verse 28. The word of God is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. And David rehearses again how powerful the Lord has been to preserve him and win the victory. And so I come back to verses 1 and 2. You know how it begins? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. That is a wonderful place to stop today. When God's deliverance, God's grace, when we see how good he has been, when we understand how powerful he has been to save us by sending his son, what's our response? It's that. I love you, Lord. And David gives 7 metaphors to describe how the Lord has always delivered him and how he has always been his rock. Where do you stand today, dear listener? Do you have a place hidden in the cleft of the rock? Or are you building your house on the sand? I pray that you come to Jesus today and you would know his powerful deliverance, that he would surround your hearts and your minds with true peace. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi there. I'm Pastor Ryan DeYoung from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as heard on this program and you live in the Langley area, we invite you to come worship with us. Our Sunday services are at 9:30 and 2, and we're located at 21804 52nd Avenue, just down the hill from the Langley Memorial Hospital. We are a church that emphasizes the good news that Jesus Christ alone is our Savior and Lord. To find out more, visit our website at langleycanrc.org.